As I said, somehow in class, the smart board went off and restarted, and I lost the discussion of the 30 questions. You can go back a semester and find the discussion of most of the questions there. So we are going to pick up with the practice continued, where we discuss the code that reads a file. So here's the file I have. And a file can be a standalone thing. A table is usually part of a database. But a file can just be a standalone collection of data. So I have a payroll file, which has an ID number, a name, a pay per hour, regular hours, and overtime hours. And I've got four records. And after the four records, I've got an end of file indicator. EOF stands for end of file. So now I'm going to go down and I'm going to look at the code. The code starts out with read pay record. So it is reading the first record. Now the way I have coded this logically, it is reading the first record and only the first record will be read from this read that comes before the do loop. This is called an initializing read. So it's basically doing a read to make sure there's data there. So I read the record. All the other records will be read from the read that is down near the bottom right before I end the loop. So essentially, I do the initializing read. As long as it's not in the file, I process. And then after I finish processing, I read the next record. I go back to the do loop. As long as it's not end of file, I process. And when I finish the display, which finishes processing the record, I read the next record. So I always read just before I go back to the beginning of the do loop. And at the beginning of the do loop, I check for it's not end of file. So I've got a pattern there. Inside the do loop, I also do processing. And my processing in this case is based on an if statement. If overtime hours are greater than zero, I do three calculations. Else, I do one calculation. The INDEF ends the if. I display the total pay. It might have been nice to display the ID number and name too. But all I did was display the total pay, and then I read the next record. I go back to the do loop. As long as the read was successful, I process. I display, and I read the next record, and I keep going through that loop. When I finally read and I'm unsuccessful, then when I go back, I find out that it is end of file. I drop out of the loop and stop the program. If I wanted to, I could have put in a message after the end of the do while loop and before the stop program that said, I'm done, or something like that. Okay, looking at the next slide, I went through and showed the processing. So, the initializing read read the first record, which is 1111 John Doe. Since it read, it's not end of file. So it goes into the do loop. I ask, is the overtime hours greater than zero? Yes, the overtime hours is 10 for John Doe. So I calculate the regular pay by multiplying pay per hour times regular hours, and that gives me 800. I calculate the overpay time pay by multiplying pay per hour times overtime hours times 1.5 because I'm paying 1.5. I'm paying time and a half. Then I add together the total to get the total pay. I add the regular pay and the overtime pay to get the total pay. And I drop out of the if. Then I display the total pay, and you can see the circle over on the side where I'm displaying 1,100. And then I read the next record. So I'm now reading 1234 Ann Costa. The read is successful, so I go into the loop. Is overtime hours greater than zero? No. So I take the else, multiply pay per hour by regular hours, and display it. So pay per hour times regular hours is 25 times 40, which is 1,000, and I display the 1,000. Then I read the next record. So it's 2222 Linda Ryan. When I go in, because I go into the loop because it's not end of file, is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes, it is. So I calculate her regular pay at $1,200, her overtime pay at $900, and her total pay at $2,100, and I display that. Then I read the next record, and it's 2345 Bob Smith. It's not end of file, so I hit the if statement. Is overtime greater than zero? Yes, it is. So I calculate regular pay at $1,050, overtime pay at $450, total pay at $1,500, and I display that. Then I drop down to read the next record. The record that I read is the end of file indicator. And so when I go back to the due, it says due while not end of file. It is end of file. So it drops out of the loop and stops the program. Okay, so what I've been doing here is processing four records. When you come to doing the assignment that I've given you this week, the last few problems that you have to solve will involve using data that's in a file. And the first ones involve doing if statements of the kind that we show here. So I'm doing if statements similar to the ones we did in class last week, or actually Tuesday. Okay, now I'm going to move on to talking a little bit about things that are in Chapter 1 in the book. And if you have the book, I would suggest that you read Chapter 1. If you don't have the book, I've listed a whole lot of articles that you can find on the web that will give you the information that's from the book. I'm going to talk about the book a little bit more, but for now we're going to just look at the basics. Okay, so the source code is the code that you write. The machine cannot execute source code. Source code is high-level languages like C++, Visual Basic, JavaScript. It's a higher-level language. The machine can't operate on that. It needs zeros and ones and things to be reduced to machine language. A compiler or an interpreter reduce them to machine language. The compiler takes the program, figures out what it should be in machine language, develops an executable if everything is all right, and the executable can then be run. So it takes the whole, comes up with an executable version of it. The interpreter tends to interpret one instruction at a time and then execute it. So those are the differences between them. And there's a lot of subtlety in there, but those are the big differences. The thing that it produces is machine code or object code, and object code is executable. So I start out, and I have the logic or flowchart. That's what I do first. Okay, I create the logic. I figure out the logic. So I develop the logic, and as I said in class, at one point they decided that they would try to come up with two jobs. One that was developing the logic and one was doing the code. And the truth is that the person who was doing the logic got the higher pay. Because, in fact, once you know a language, doing the code isn't the hard part. It's figuring out what you need to do to solve the problem. That's the hard part. So, you develop the logic and then somebody writes the code. And nowadays, the programmer does all of this. Okay, as I said, they experimented at one time, but that didn't work out too well. So we start out, and we have the programmer writes the source code, and again, Visual Basic, C++, PHP, whatever. And then we take and we bring up a compiler that or interpreter, but I'm using compiler for this example, that will interpret that particular language. And we enter the source code into the computer, and the compiler interprets it. If it finds errors, then it rejects and says, I can't turn this into machine language or object code. I can't turn this into object code. The errors that it finds are syntax errors. Errors, for example, like you meant to write the word ADD and you wrote ODD. Or you meant to write the word write, WRITE, and you wrote RITE. Or you left out a semicolon, you left out a curly brace, you left out something like that. Those are all syntax languages. Syntax errors, rather. They're language errors, syntax language errors. So at that point, I go back to the person that wrote the code, and they have to fix it. So they fix the code, and they give it to the compiler again, and see if this time it can produce object code. If it can't, then we go back and we fix again, and eventually we get source code that can be translated by the compiler into object code. Now we can execute the object code. And the way we execute the object code is we input data, usually. It might not require data, but almost everything does. So we input data, we do the processing that the object code tells us to do, and we produce output. The output might be output on a screen, it might be output that is printed to paper, it might be output that goes to a disk, but we produce output. So we have input, processing, and output. Now, when we get the output, we have to check it for errors. And the errors that are found at this point are logic errors. There, for example, I'm calculating your paycheck and I want to multiply pay per hours times hours worked. But instead of multiplying, I add them. So if you worked 40 hours and you made $40 an hour, that should be $1,600. If I add them together, it's $80. You're going to be a little upset if you get paid $80 instead of $1,600. So, I found a logic error. I told it to add when I should have told it to multiply. Okay, now this is an error that the computer cannot pick up because it doesn't know what you were trying to do. It doesn't know that you wanted to multiply instead of add. Add is a perfectly legal thing to do. So, this is a problem that can only be solved by people catching the error and then saying, oops, we got to fix that. So if you have to fix that, it has to go all the way back to the source code. You have to change the place where you said add and make it say multiply. You have to hope you did it right because now you've got to compile it. And if you did it wrong, you're going to pick up a syntax error. If you did it right, you now have the object code. You go over and you execute the object code by putting in test data that you're testing, looking at the output and making sure that it's right. And if it's right, you're all set. Now the program gets tested by other people. You can't just put it into production based on your own test. Other people have to look at it and test it and make sure they think it's clean too. When it's finally clean, it's put into production. Now, when it gets put into production, it's still not completely done because there's got to be probably maintenance done on it. For example, let's say you're producing a report on the screen or on paper, and there are two columns that you frequently compare, but now they're way, one's at one end of the report, one's at the other end of the report. Somebody says, you know, it would work a lot better if these were next to each other. So maintenance, maintaining the program means that I then go back to the source code and I change that, recompile it and hope it has no syntax errors, re-execute and test it, and finally put it back into production. Usually people are very free with fixing problems right at the beginning. But then after a while it goes into a schedule of maintenance where anything that somebody finds that's a problem gets a form, gets submitted, and every 3 months, we'll say, the program gets maintained. Obviously, if something crashes in the middle of the night and doesn't produce paychecks anymore, that's an immediate fix. But moving two columns around would get done on a scheduled maintenance basis. Okay. the last thing we did is I had everybody work on problem one, and this is the solution that we came up with for problem one. Okay, that's what I managed to cover because that's what we captured in the smart board, and so we're all set.